Well, good evening or afternoon or morning or in between time, if you happen to live in the Bardo. This is John St. Germain with Crystal Silence League Hour, welcoming you to another fine episode. My goodness, we're excited to be here again. I'm always excited to be here. That's just the way I live. I live my life on the constant edge of excitement because it's the kind of guy I am. And tonight we're going to examine Mr. Claude Conlon's four branches of crystal gazing. Tonight being a particularly exciting night, we're going to look at silent influence or projection. We spent some time a while back looking at the first branch, which was mediumship, and we're going to gloss over that because mediumship is a topic that interests many, but we spent some time on that a while ago, so we're going to go right to what I feel is one of the most productive branches, and that is projection. Very good, very good, very good. And it looks like all sound levels are fine, which is not always the case with Blog Talk Radio. So why don't everyone grab your crystal ball, fine drink, cuddle up with your preferable companion, feline, canine, humine, or bovine, and just join us again in just a minute, and we'll be right back. Audience, the Crystal Silence League was founded in around 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon, who of course was known in his performing role as Alexander the Man Who Knows. After 9 years, he retired and concentrated his attentions to the Crystal Silence League, which was a worldwide organization of people who received positive affirmation via telepathy. Yes, telepathy, transmitted via crystal ball. And received via crystal ball. And the Crystal Silence League was founded to promote positive affirmations and prayer to those who needed it. Of course, when he passed away around 1958, I believe. Yeah, I believe 1958, which was several years before I was born. He took Crystal Silence League into the silence with him until a few years ago when adepts of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church revived it via the Internet. So instead of a worldwide web of crystal balls, it became a worldwide cybernetic web. We still use crystal balls to project and receive spiritual affirmations and tonics, as Mr. Alexander Conlon called them. But also you can go to crystalsilenceleague.org, www.crystalsilenceleague.org, and post a prayer for yourself or others, at which point you will receive affirmation that these prayers are heard. Someone will click on those prayers, and you'll receive an email to let you know that the many of the thousands of members of Crystal Silence League have done so. There's also a free newsletter that you can sign up for, edited by none other than me, John St. Germain, also known as the voice of the Crystal Silence League, and sometimes known as Blind Mississippi Lugnuts Jones, the famous blues harmonica player. That's another story. So by all means, go there and and join up. You can also join for a nominal donation and receive one of Mr. Conlon's fine publications on the use of crystal for crystal gazing. There's two books that Missionary Independent Spiritual Church does put out with the purchase of a crystal or membership in the Crystal Silence League. You can purchase crystal balls from the gift shop of many sizes, many colors, many shapes, many materials, and also the two books. There is a third book in production, which I'm writing myself, and we're discussing topics from that book. I can't tell you when that will be finished. I can tell you that it's about two-thirds finished now. Then it will be vetted, edited, and pinch, poked, and prodded by none other than Miss Catherine Ironwood herself for approval, and then massaged into shape, and then possibly published at that point. So I'm very excited about that. So why don't we look at our crystal of the week first, and then we'll go on to our weekly procedure of reading aloud prayers. The crystal of the week, which you can see in our slideshow, is a very beautiful gem. It's the green opal. And the green opals are green varieties of the common opal. And usually green opals are tinted with nickel, which gives them the green color. These are very beautiful stones in their raw form and even in their polished foam forms. And they're not as expensive as the rainbow opal, which are used in jewelry. And they're energizing stones. They're rejuvenating stones. They bring you a quick recovery from illness, exhaustion, or anxiety. They help filter, and this is what's interesting to me, they help filter reality. They, if you go into an experience carrying all the baggage and negative experience from the past, you know, let's say you're going into a relationship and you're thinking, oh no, this again, green opals can help filter that. You know, if your filters are clogged, you know, think about, you know, air conditioning filters all clogged up with dirt. If your experience filters are all clogged up with all the negative memories and experiences from the past, green opal can help cleanse or clean or unclog those experience filters and help you have experience your experiences renewed with clean filters. You see it. You see things anew. You can go into relationships with a new attitude. You can go into jobs and life itself with just a new and rejuvenated attitude. Your filters, your information, you can go back to school if you're jaded. You have that jaded feeling. You can regain your beginner's mind, they like to call it in Zen. And everything seems fresh and new. You're not clogged up. And that's what I like about green opal. I think it's a wonderful thing. When people, I see they have this kind of, yeah, whatever, dude, kind of energy where they're just jaded and bored and wearied of life's experience. Green opal can give you back that green energy, that youthful energy when everything was new and exciting to you. So I do like it. Nagasiva calls it the chakra blockbuster, the bodily road opener. And those are all very good. It is useful in road opener work, as a matter of fact. So if you feel that you're clogged up, you need to open up the roads, you need to rejuvenate your experience, you feel that you've seen it all, done it all, and there's nothing new for you, fill your pockets with green opal. It's a good little jewel. Opal in general is a very, very good opals in general are very good stones to work with. We may just do an episode one time talking about all the varieties of opal because there's plenty of them. Well, it's time, I believe, for us to read aloud some prayers. We get hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of prayers a day posted on the Crystal Silence League website. And it's my custom to print out a few of these and read them aloud for a few minutes. And I enjoin all of you to accompany me with these prayers. You can pray with the crystal balls, and what we do in the Crystal Silence League, you know, every pastor, of which I'm one, we print out many of these every day, and we put them on our crystal ball altars, just as Mr. Conlon used to do with the thousands of prayers he got via postcard, and we pray over them, and we bless them. And so let's begin. We'll begin now. And I only identify these by prayer number. I never call out names, even though people post these publicly. I protect their anonymity. So here we go. Prayer ID number 38766, and this is PM, who prays a prayer of gratitude for the kind couple, K and S, who helped them out, who helped her out. She offers a prayer of gratitude. She also wishes to reconnect with someone she met. She had to leave abruptly due to an unsafe situation and never had a chance to explain a quick departure, so she wishes to reconnect with that special someone that she met. I bet there's an interesting story behind that. Prayer ID number 38764, HC, wants an opportunity to thrive and bless the community with their life's gift in art, and needs approval for a rental agreement in order to do that. May that be so. May all obstacles be removed. May she burst through all those obstacles in order to express herself creatively. We have a couple of prayers, 38763 and 38762 from PB, who needs obstacles removed in his personal and financial life, that he may get the job he needs and also get the romantic connections that he needs. He seems to be blocked in his both romantic and professional life. So may all those blockages be removed so that PB can enjoy the happiness and success that he so desperately deserves. We have prayer ID number 38758. WH needs deliverance from a friend, Daniel. Oh, D needs deliverance from drug and alcohol, apparently. She's having a very hard time with this in a bad relationship, and is having a lot of problems involving drug and alcohol. And may she be delivered from that. We have prayer ID number 38757, ER, who is scared and alone and worried about her health. So may she be comforted, and may she be healed, and may she be healed in body and mind, and have the confidence and assurance she needs to bring herself out of this situation and walk away from it and be healthy and strong. Prayer ID number 38756, S, needs to recover what his enemy, Mr. A, has stolen, the dearest thing in his life, has been stolen from him by his enemy. And may that be restored, and may his enemy be brought to confusion. Prayer ID number 38755, ES, wants to thank, wants to thank DA with the love spells that brought her husband back. Well, thank you. Thank you for that good work, that good piece of root work. Prayer ID number 38754, MD, apparently has nodules in her left breast and is praying that there are no abnormalities in her body. May she be healed of this, and may they be benign. Prayer ID number 38753, JC, needs courage to stand up to his relatives who are apparently trying to break them apart. So may their love be strong and true, and may he stand up to his relatives and be with the one that he truly loves. Prayer ID number 38752, CP, needs a place to live, and is starting a job in a couple of weeks, but doesn't know how she's going to pay for everything. So may those answers come to her, and may everything work out to the complete satisfaction. And we have prayer ID number 38751, AA, needs money for decent living situation, glasses, mobile phone, medicine, and food. And so may she find the means to get the things that she needs. We have prayer ID number 38750, SV, struggling, needs money, and needs her tax refund. May the IRS show mercy. And, you know, we were praying for a miracle there. Prayer ID number 38749, MMC, needs protection from danger. There's evil and harm around her, and she needs protection from the enemies in her life. May she be protected from all corners, north, south, east, west, above and below, from the danger that surrounds her. Prayer ID number 38748, MP, is going to Africa on a safari, and wishes to request prayers for safety, success, love, and peace for the duration of the trip. and humbly ask for prayers that all will be well. Well, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that you will be protected and be safe on that safari, because things do happen on those. We just recently, someone was eaten by a lion on a safari. I saw it on Facebook. And anything you see on Facebook is true, you know that. Prayer ID number 38747, TS, needs healing for herself and says, prayer warriors, don't forget to pray for me this morning at 10 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you that God is in the midst. We don't. We pray every morning. We all pray for you every morning. Prayer ID number 38746, JB, has work problems, a cruel boss, and apparently gossip at work. Those are terrible situations. You hear about that a lot. May this situation be remedied, and furthermore, may JB get the strength to endure these terrible conditions. This is very common. We hear about this a lot. And finally, prayer ID number 38743CL needs the restoration of her marriage. She's separated from her husband at his request, and she's in a bad spot. May they see reconciliation in this marriage. I feel that there's just a problem here that can be solved very easily if they can work this out. So that may they be healed, may they be reconciled in this marriage. May all the prayers be answered, may all the situations be resolved, and may everyone find peace and blessings and tranquility in their lives, if it be so. So let everyone just take a moment of silence and send peace and loving affirmations to all in need. In tonight's program, we're going to discuss the second branch of Mr. Claude Conlon's four branches of crystal gazing, silent influence or projection. And Mr. Conlon himself said that this was the greatest secret of his success and of anyone's success in many of his writings. And I'd like to recap a little bit of what we discussed the last time I was here. And that was the influence of Hinduism and Buddhism on New Thought and on Mr. Conlon's techniques in general. We know that in the 19th century, there was a revival of interest in Eastern philosophy that swept across Europe and America, which was simultaneous with the growth of many metaphysical schools. We know Theosophy and Transcendentalism and New Thought and all sorts of schools were influenced by Hinduism and Buddhism, and in no small part due to the efforts of Blavatsky and Olcott of the Theosophical Society. We know that Helena Blavatsky spent a great deal of her time in India and Sri Lanka, and she brought Theravada Buddhism to New York around 1875 or so. She was also an activist in Sri Lanka during a Buddhist uprising in Sri Lanka to drive out some of the invaders who were trying to eliminate Buddhism in Sri Lanka, and helped for the establishment of the reestablishment of Theravada Buddhism in Sri Lanka. Furthermore, European and American occultists had long been traveling to India to study yoga with various gurus, and there'd been a British commercial and military presence in India since the 15th century and even before. So exposure to the feats of yogis and the methods of meditation were certainly very well known to any Westerner or Occidental citizen curious enough to make a diligent inquiry. So this leads to speculation. Did Mr. Conlon study with a guru during his many travels as Alexander, the man who knows? And just what exactly did Alexander know? Because he was definitely capable of many inexplicable feats. He was more than just a stage magician. He was a telepathist, mind reader. He could see into the future. He could do incredible things that were never explained. We know that he mentions the Hindus a lot. He mentions the yogis a lot. He was familiar with meditation. And we also know that he showed a familiarity with yogic practice, either through personal instruction or the study of recently translated manuscripts, such as the Bardo Todal and others from Indian Tibet. But that's a topic of great discussion, and I'm going to go into it quite a bit in the book I'm writing now and maybe future books. But there's one manuscript that caught my interest, particularly the Epitome of the Great Symbol, which may have been around the first century CE, and even then it was ancient. The teacher responsible for that said it was ancient even when he learned the technique in the first century. It teaches a very ancient yogic meditation technique aimed at, as most of them were, at achieving nirvana. And at one point, you find a description that says, the observing of silence after the casting out the dead breath of exhalation is called the tranquility or immobility of speech. Meditate upon the guru as being seated upon the crown of your head and pray to him, vouchsafe to me thy gift waves, that I may obtain the highest boon of the great symbol. Then having prayed for the boon conferring gift waves, absorb them into thyself, think that thy mind is blended with the divine mind. And the commentator goes on to explain that these gift waves, now get this, are psychic energy sent out via telepathic transmission by the guru. And you can't help but notice that this is not just similar but identical to descriptions of going into the silence and projecting and receiving mental thoughts. And in a book called The Secret of Concentration, which was written in 1924, Mr. Conlon relates an actual anecdote from a young man whose father was stationed in Benares concerning some mystical feats performed by a group of yogis. And in this anecdote, the young man said the yogis prepared for their demonstration by meditating for several hours each day, staring at pieces of bright crystals on the ground. And after several days of this meditation, the yogis gathered a crowd and performed incredible feats of wizardry. Among these feats was the famous or infamous Indian rope trick, where a rope is thrown into the air and it remains suspended in midair by nothing but the willpower of the yogi. And with the rope dangling in midair, a small boy climbs to the top of the rope and then vanishes in a puff of smoke. Now, I'll tell you that skeptics have dismissed the Indian rope trick as a legend, you know, an urban legend, or a performance of legerdemain. And most of the explanations that magicians will give you of it just don't hold water. It wouldn't fool anybody. But Mr. Conlon's anecdote provides a clue to another explanation. When this young man examined photographs he made of this unbelievable feat, the photo showed only a crowd of people standing around a group of yogis staring upward at empty space. There were neither rope nor boy. The yogis had apparently implanted these images in everyone's mind through mental projection. Well, the young man told his father about it, and the father explained the secret to doing things like this, and apparently his father knew these yogis and knew their trickery, was to concentrate your mind on one thought to the exclusion of everything else. And that's what the yogis have been doing by staring for hours at the bits of shiny crystal. And from this experience, the young man told Mr. Conlon, the young man gleaned the power of silent influence, which he mastered to a remarkable degree, and he used it several times in his own life to bring success into his life. So what Mr. Conlon learned from this and other stories and from his own studies is that with sufficient practice, you can influence the thoughts and actions of other people from a distance through the power of your mind alone. That not only does the power of thought attract things to you, but it can also be used to attract or send your thoughts to other people and influence them. And this is projection, silent influence, the silent influence of other people. When you think about this, this is an awe-inspiring and awesome in the old sense, not like kids say, you know, I had some ice cream and it was awesome. Well, you know, ice cream isn't awesome, kids, you know, I'm sorry. But the ability to influence the actions of other people from a distance, now that is awesome. So this is an awe-inspiring and awesome ability. And you can learn it, you can master it. Very few of us will ever be as adept at it as someone like Mr. Conlon, but understand that even if you get slightly good at it, you're going to make a big difference. So, but as Mr. Conlon pointed out in one of his books, every spell cast and every prayer chanted and every wish made are attempts to influence the will or thoughts of someone else. So isn't that true? Spell casting, every spell we cast, every time we do a piece of root work, every time we do a candle spell, we're doing a silent influence. We're attempting to influence the will or thoughts of somebody else. So through the eye of our crystal ball, our will is focused, concentrated, and then hurled outward toward the object of your desire. This is projection. This is silent influence. A good example, if you have an important business meeting, you might send out thoughts of silent influence before you even meet your target, before you even meet the guy who's going to interview you. You urge them to see you in a favorable light. If you're appearing in court, you might attempt to sway the judge in your favor through your crystal ball several days before your hearing. Silent influence isn't limited to people. That's a very small example of the use of its power. You can penetrate the very fabric of reality, if you're determined enough, and reweave it to your preferences. I want you to think about this. You can attract into your life love, prosperity, success, fortune, fame. And these techniques work. Mr. Conlon rose from relative obscurity to become the highest paid stage performer of his time. He was a contemporary of Harry Houdini. People know about Harry Houdini. They don't know much about Conlon. He preferred to be relatively obscure. But when the two appeared on the same bill, of course, Mr. Conlon performed under the name Alexander the Man Who Knows. He was paid a higher fee, and his name was larger on the theater posters. You can see old vaudeville posters, Alexander the Man Who Knows, and under that, Harry Houdini. Now, Houdini was a much larger egotist, and he saw to it his name was remembered longer, but Alexander made more money, and Alexander drew bigger crowds, and Alexander, his name was bigger. And I sometimes wonder if Mr. Conlon tried to sell Houdini a crystal. I used to wonder about that. Hey, Harry, you want a crystal ball? But to initiate a projection, your mind must be absolutely clear before you go into the silence. You have to put aside things that will distract you. You can't harbor the slightest thoughts of anger or anxiety. You have to be calm and confident. You have to be assured and focused. You have to banish any feelings of uncertainty. Doubt will kill your success in this kind of work. It really will. And proficiency in meditation will help you develop the sort of focus and concentration you need to make significant progress with silent influence. And if you can think of narrowing the focus of your attention to a laser beam, which you're going to fire into the heart of your crystal ball, that will really help. Now, even if you don't develop great proficiency, you can still make this work. You can still make this work. Even if you just develop a small amount of proficiency, it's better than living your life at random. If you're just wandering through life at the whim of fate, letting things happen to you, even just a little bit of focus on these techniques will change things so dramatically for you. It will just change things so dramatically. If before you go into any sort of situation that is seemingly out of your control, you exert this exercise, you will find that it's not as out of control as you think. You don't have to become a grand master of silent influence to make a difference in your life. As I said, very few people will ever become the type of master that the great magi were. And there's no doubt in my mind that Mr. Conlon was a great magician, a great magi. But any success in this is an improvement over just living your life, as Thoreau used to say, in quiet desperation. Any skill in this will improve your life significantly, and any amount of effort you put into it is worth it. So you can hold the crystal in your hand or rest it on a stand, and you visualize your target. And the more sensory detail you engage, the better. If you can see and hear and smell the person, if possible, touch them. Imagine the target person performing the actions you wish of them. Talk the mental version of your target through it, if it helps. A good example would be, Mr. Jones, you know I'm the best employee you have. You will recognize this. You do recognize this and wish to reward me. You're offering me a raise and a promotion, and I'm grateful. I accept it. And you fuel the scenario with every bit of the fire of your convictions. You hurl it into the crystal and then outward to your target. And in this case, it's the hypothetical Mr. Jones. And then you let it go and you relax. And this whole thing takes just a few seconds. It doesn't take more than 30 seconds. Now, silent influence can be initiated for specific conditions, such as prosperity or to bring the romantic partner into your life. And in these cases, you'll go into the silence to project your codes. And codes are statements containing the intention of your desire. When initiating projections, Mr. Collins suggested that we keep them as brief and condensed as possible. This is so we don't get distracted and lose our concentration. He called these abbreviated affirmations codes because he believed they were encrypted messages which, when expanded in the mind of the receiver, initiated important transformations. Therefore, when I've tried to teach this to my clients and other people, for instance, a romantic partner, don't go into too much detail because sometimes people, when they have to do attraction work or to help them get a romantic partner, they go into way too much detail. It's like they're doing it from mail order from Amazon or something. They give me this list of traits they want: funny, good provider, loyal, attractive, green eyes, brown hair, tall, great in bed, dutiful parent, passionate, artistic, smart. But no, that's not necessary. It's not necessary. All of this is encoded in your projection. You know what you want. You know what you want in a partner. You don't have to spell it out. You should know. If you don't, then you're in trouble. If you don't know what you want, what's good for you in a partner, then you're in trouble. And your desire, it's your desire that fuels your projection. It's Napoleon Hill wrote about that in the Law of Attraction, or the Law of Success. He said that it's desire that fuels the Law of Attraction. So it's your desire that fuels this. If you don't have any desire, then you're probably one of the happiest people in the world if you don't want anything. But if you don't have any desire, you're not going to be able to fuel projection and attraction. So all these unspoken assumptions about your partner are going to ride the wave of that desire. So all you need to do is clearly feel that person's presence in your heart. Feel the presence. Feel that you're there with them. And then think clearly your code. Come to me, my love. I'm looking for you. You're looking for me. I'm looking for you. Come to me. So your code is very simple. Come to me, my love. I'm looking for you just as you're looking for me. That's your code. Boom. And that's the secret of successful projection. After entering the silence, you must act and feel as you've already made the changes which you're trying to initiate. You live it that moment. You must believe it. The strength of your belief will change reality. And that's not a metaphor. The reality will change around you to reflect your will. You'll grab hold of reality and shake it and change it. Things will rearrange themselves around you. Things will rearrange yourself around you. And we have a number you can call, 657-383-0525, if you want to ask questions, if you want to make comments, if you want to tell us stories of your own success with this technique. We welcome this. I find sometimes that I'm doing all the talking and no one is ever out there, and I would like to encourage more participation in these discussions. So if you want to call, our number is 657-383-0525, and by all means, contact me about this stuff. I welcome questions because I feel sometimes that these techniques are not fully understood, and I don't know how well I'm explaining them. So if you have questions about this, do call. The number is 657-383-0525, and punch 1. And if you punch 1, I'll see your hand come up, and I'll grab a hold of you, and we'll talk things. There's some techniques that Mr. Conlon talks about. There's a book he wrote called Crystals and Crystal Gazing, which is actually a chapter of a much longer book, which is called Inner Secrets of Psychology, that goes into 5 volumes. And he talks about punching holes in space, which is how I think about it. And he borrowed a technique from some other occultists called the astral tube. And this is a very interesting technique. The idea is that you visualize a tube, just like a telescope, sort of between you and the target that you're trying to visualize. And this was used by astral projectionists and other techniques. But you visualize a tube about a foot in diameter between you and your target, through which you can see them. Now, the cool thing is, if you're working with a crystal ball, your end of the tube extends from your crystal ball, like the ball is a lens. So you peer through your ball at your target through this tube, and you send your projections through it, kind of like firing a cannon. So if you're working with a 3-inch or a 4-inch ball, you hold the ball between your hands, and you peer through it like a lens. If you're working with a little smaller ball, an 1.5-inch ball, you place it inside your curled index finger and thumb and hold it to your eye like a telescope. So he describes this in one of his books, but he says it may not be for everybody. If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you, but if it does, it's really good. So you look down this tube, and then you're looking at the person like through a telescope, and you send your projections at them, you know, once again, like you're just firing it down a tube. I might make a suggestion about the astral tube, if it does work for you. And I found it works really well for me. Once you establish visual contact with your target, widen the tube. Widen it very, very wide. Widen the tube into a tunnel. And then walk through the tunnel until you stand face-to-face with your target. And then you place the ball between you until it touches their forehead. And you touch your forehead to the ball, so you're contacted forehead-to-forehead with the ball. And then project your codes directly into their head. It's like brain-to-brain contact. And tell me that's not a strong technique. You stand right in front of them, face to face, put the ball between you, forehead to forehead, and then project brain to brain. Bang to bang. Pow. And that's very, very strong stuff. That is a strong technique there. And so that's some of the techniques with projection that that Mr. Conlon would talk to us about. So projection, as we know, is a very powerful technique, and using it with crystal balls is a technique. Some people ask, what size ball should you use? I know it's very tempting when you go into a shop, you see all these crystal balls, and you want to buy one the size of a bowling ball. That's not the best idea, because in many of these techniques, you want to hold the ball in your hands, and if you do that, you're going to fatigue very easily. So what I found is, if you're starting out, probably the best size is a 2-inch ball. These are very easy to focus, very easy to put your energy in. You can hold them in your hand, or you can put them on a stand. And as you gain proficiency, a 3-inch ball is an ideal size for this kind of work. A 3-inch ball is my favorite size to work with. They're not that expensive, and you can build a collection of them. You can get a clear ball. You can get green, you can get amber, you can get red, you can get black. And at some point, you're going to want balls of many colors, especially if you start working with chakras. And if you work with chakras, you're going to need 7 or 10, depending on how many chakras you work with. And one of the things I want to go into at some point is working with chakras and projection, using the chakras as power sources for projection and attraction. And if you do that, the colored balls come in very, very handy, because they'll just automatically link up to the different chakras. Now let's go into that. If you are going to do projection work, you can do pretty much any projection work that you want to work with a clear crystal ball. If you're doing projection to change your conditions, the crystal ball works well. The clear crystal ball works very well. So I don't know. Let's walk through something. Let's say that you're unhappy with your love life. All you do is keep attracting people to you who use you. Let's say that's a common thing, and you don't know why this is. But every time you meet somebody, no matter how it starts out, they wind up using you. You wind up doing all the giving, and they take all the taking. Well, obviously, what you're sending out there is some sort of signal that says, you know, here I am, use me. Well, you want to turn that around. You know, you have to turn that around. You have to turn that thinking around. So you would take your crystal ball, and you would work this exercise. First of all, you have to go inside yourself and recognize that. You have to go inside yourself and find out what it is that you're sending out there. Why are you sending that out? And this is going to take a lot of self-examination. You don't want to go into the silence and send out for a lover as long as you're sending out, you know, here I am, I'm a Pez dispenser. Just, you know, come on up and I'll give you everything I have. That's not what you want to send out. So the first thing you have to do is recognize that you do that. You have to look in your life and see this pattern. And one of the things you have to cure yourself of is if you have a type. You know, a lot of people, they say, you know, I like tall, dark-haired men. You know, I like curvy, blonde women. If you're picking someone just because of the way they look, you're picking them for the wrong reasons. You have to cure yourself of that. You have to cure yourself of the idea that you have a type. Attracting the ideal lover to you is not a matter of what they look like. The ideal lover is someone with whom you're compatible. So your projection is you're out there waiting for me. Now remember that the idea is that the universe has a storehouse of what belongs to you. It's like a storage unit that has everything that belongs to you, the thing that's right for you. And if the ideal person, the one that's meant for you, and let's disabuse ourselves of all this this nonsense that you have work to do. And so if you find yourself in an abusive relationship, that's exactly where you're supposed to be because you're working now off a karmic debt. Let's disabuse ourselves of that bullshit right now, okay? If you're unhappy, you're unhappy. You're not meant to be unhappy. You're not supposed to be unhappy. You're supposed to be functional. Let's just assume this. You're supposed to be functional, happy, prosperous, healthy, and wake up in the morning and feel good. You're not supposed to wake up in the morning and think, I wish I were dead. Okay, let's just disabuse yourself of that. Nobody deserves that. I don't care what kind of theory there is that you're supposed to work through a karmic debt or whatever. Let's just assume that all debts are paid and that happiness is your natural lot, that this is what the divine mind wants for you, to be healthy, happy, at ease, at peace, and free of pain. Let's just assume that. Let's work from that assumption. If you want to work from the assumption that life is here to beat the shit out of you, then, you know, just go somewhere else. I'm not going to tell you that. I want to tell you that you deserve to be happy and healthy and good and, you know, eat good food and drink good things and have people love you and to be loved. That's the lesson I'm going to give you. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, you're born to, you know, have bad things happen to you. So that's what you want to send out there. If you've been having really bad relationships, it's because of something you're doing. You're doing something wrong. You're sending a message out there that, you know, come beat me up. So stop doing that. Figure out why you're doing it. Say, I've done that enough. So it's time to start sending out good messages. You send out, okay, I'm done with that. You know, I'm done with that. I'm through with that. I'm done wasting time. You know, my ideal lover, you're out there. You're looking for me like I'm looking for you. Let's quit wasting time. Let's get together. You know, I want to be good to you. I'm ready for you to be good to me. Let's get together. Let's do that. You know, it worked for me. You know, I had enough. I said, I'm done with this. You know, I'm tired of being with women that don't get me and I don't get them. I said, I'll either spend the rest of my life alone or I'm going to be with a person that's just right for me. We're going to be so perfect we don't even have to talk. You don't even have to talk. We look at each other. We understand each other. I said, if it's anything less than that, I'm not interested in it. And, you know, it worked for me. I found that person. She found me. She was looking for me, too. We found each other. That person is looking for you just like you're looking for them. And you should not settle for anything less. If you're settling for anything less than what is yours, then you need to get it out of your life. And this is a job. This is a person. This is your friends. this is anything in your life that you're just settling for, then you need to get it doesn't belong to you. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your life. You should wake up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait to get out of bed. You don't want to pull the, you know, if you're waking up and you're pulling the covers over your head and going, oh, man, I can't face the world, then you're doing something wrong. It's not that something's wrong in your life, that fate is dumping on you, that you're cursed, that life is terrible, that the world is a crappy place. You are doing something wrong. If I sound like I'm dumping on you, you ought to hear how Claude Conlon talks to people. He said, if you're not benefiting from this, you're not trying hard enough. He talks to people like this in his book. He said, if you're not benefiting from this, you're not trying hard enough. You don't want it. You're not willing to give up a few pleasantries in your life to work on this. He said, if you want to waste your time on drinking and overeating and wasting your time on pleasantries, go right ahead. But don't blame anyone but yourself. And I'm telling you that you can change the world. You can change yourself. You can take reality and change it. I'm saying this is a fact. If your life is unhappy and you're miserable and things are wrong in your life, you can grab reality and change it. You can change the world around you to where people walk up to you and give you what you want. And if you don't think this is true, I'm telling you you're wrong. I'm telling you that you're wrong because I have done it. And I know other people who have done it, and I have shown people how to do it, and they've believed me, and they've done it for themselves. So I'm telling you, this is true, and this is done through silent influence. This is done through looking in a crystal ball and telling the world, this is what you're going to do. And if you're worried about the moral implications of this, just understand this. You can't do anything that's wrong if you go into this with good intention. Not for greediness. Don't do it out of greed. Don't do it out of selfishness. Just look in that crystal ball and say, I'm ready for what's mine. Just give me what's mine. No more, no less. Just what's mine. And believe me, there's plenty enough to go around. And here's a really wonderful thing, too. You don't even have to get it from another person. You don't have to ask another person for this. You don't have to ever ask another person in the world for any of this. Because there's the divine mind, there's the great mind of the universe, there's the infinite source. You just ask that, and you're not ever going to deplete the universe. Just ask the divine mind. Just say, give me the strength and give me the knowledge and give me the information I need to get it for myself. You know, just show me what to do, and you'll get the answers and you'll get the means to get what you want. If there's a house that you want, don't go for that specific house. You're going to lose. That's another secret. Don't be too specific. You might be attracted to the neighbor next door to you, and you say, neighbor, I want you, and you don't get the neighbor. There might be a specific house you want. I want that house, and someone else buys it right out from under you, and then you lose faith in your ability to manifest. That's because you're being too specific. If you want a house, if you need a house, if you need a place to stay, you project, my ideal house, you're out there. You want me to live in you just like I want to live in you. Let's find each other. I'm ready for my house. I see you in my mind. You're out there. Make it so. Let's manifest each other. Come to me. I'll come to you. And you will surely get that house as well as the means to get it. You will surely get it. As for that neighbor, maybe that neighbor's not meant to be, but you say, man, I'd really like to sleep with him or her. I'd really like to do that. You know, that's my guy, that's my girl. I really want that neighbor. You know, that could be just lust. That could be lust. That might not be the person for you. So you're sitting in your crystal ball trying to manifest sleeping with that neighbor. You know, it may work. You know, your will may be enough to make that work, but that may not be right for you. It may not be right. And if you're really wanting the true love thing, that's what you have to send out. I want my true love. My true love, where are you? You're out there. Find me. I'm looking for you. You find me, and you will surely find each other. I have no doubt in my mind, you will surely find each other. So we have a little bit of time left. We have 10 minutes. If you'd like to call me, ask questions, or just tell us your story at 657-383-0525. We have 10 minutes left. I'd love to hear from some of you that may have listened to the show or have thoughts of your own. If you just want to call me and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about and argue with me, I'll even do that to you. We have a lot more. I can sit here and talk all night with you about this stuff. I can tell you story after story. I can tell you about how we'll talk about mind reading. Crystal balls can help you mind read. One of the things you can do with this is get inside someone's mind. Let's say that you want to get that job. There's someone you know. Let's say you want to get a promotion. Your boss has been ignoring you, and you want to get a promotion. So there's your boss, Mr. Jones. You're looking in your crystal ball, and you say, "What do I need to do to get a promotion?" You imagine him. You imagine the conversation you're going to have with him. You imagine going into his office, and you say, "So what do I need to do, Mr. Jones, to get your attention?" And this is a strange and wonderful thing. He'll tell you. If you can truly get inside his head, you sit there and you say, "You know, tell me what I need to do to get your attention." And he'll say, "Well, you know, the thing is, your work just isn't outstanding. You're not showing initiative. You're not taking initiative. You're just doing what everyone else is doing. I need you to do something a little bit more. You need to be more assertive. You need to stand out from the rest of the people." And you say, "Well, how do I need to do that?" And he'll say, "Well, you know, look at Smithy over there. You know, Smithy's taking the initiative here. He's like last month, he came up with this idea for doing this." And you think, "Well, that wasn't that great an idea." But then you look at Smithy, and you know, Smithy's very extroverted, and he's always getting the boss's attention and saying, "Hey, look, boss," and he's taking credit for ideas that are really the boss's idea. And he reflects them back and go, "Oh, I see. The boss likes you to kiss his rear end." And so you get inside the boss's mind, and you say, "Okay, the boss just really likes you to polish his apple a bit. He likes you to reflect his own ideas back to him." I'm giving you a real example here, by the way. "Likes you to reflect his own ideas back to him, and you know, tell him that he's a great inspiration to you, and basically you just reflect his own words back to him." And then you start doing that too. You start doing it better than Smithy does it. Before you know it, you get around Smithy. This is a very real example of how you can read minds. You use the projection to have a real conversation. Then you go actually and have that conversation with your boss. You know, you go in and you sit down and say, "You know, I have an idea. I was just thinking about this the other night, and I said, why don't we do this?" And it's something that your boss had done, and you just reflect it back to him. And your boss says, "Hey, this guy thinks like me." This is called mirroring or reflecting, and it works for some people. But you see how this can work. And the very strange thing is that if you do this with almost anybody, you sit down with them in your projection mode. And this is not something Mr. Conlon talked about a lot, about doing mind reading like that, but he hints at it, that you can sit down with people and have these conversations with them and ask them what they want from you. He hints at it. He doesn't go into it, but I kind of picked up the hint, and you can run with this. You'll be surprised. These people will tell you what they want from you, and imagine how powerful that is. You know, what do you want me to do to get, you know, you say, "I want this from you." What do you do? Imagine if you're trying to get ahead of your competition in any field, and you just need a little bit of secret information, and you sit down and say, what do I need to, you know, get ahead of these jokers? You know, tell me this." And he goes, "Well, you know, you need this piece of information. And if you did that, I'd pick you above these other guys. Try it and see if it works. What if you want to get a book published? What do you need to get the agent's attention? So what do I need to do to get you to look at my book? What is it going to take?" You want me to give you an example of this? I used to be in show business, and getting someone to look at your tape, your promo tape, getting an agent to look at your promo tape is almost impossible. They get 100 of these a day of all kinds of different performers, and you know, I did hypnosis shows, and they, you know, the hypnotists were a dime a dozen. They get 100 of these, and I looked at my ball, and there was this one agent I really wanted to get to look at my tape, and I looked at my crystal ball, and I said, "Okay, what do I need to do to get you to look at my tape?" And this agent said, "You know, I get 100 tapes a day, and people just send it in. And I need you to convince me that you're the hottest hypnotist in town." And I said, "Really?" And the agent Benoit said, "Yes, convince me you're the hottest hypnotist in town. The hottest." and he reached over on his desk and he took one of those atomic fireballs, you know, those jawbreakers, and he opened it up and he put it in his mouth and he said, "I want you to be the hottest hypnotist in town." And I said, "Oh." So I took my tape, and, you know, you can go to places like Sam's and buy a like a 1 gallon plastic container of those atomic fireballs that, you know, it's like a plastic jug, you know what I'm talking about. It's a 1 gallon jug of just those atomic fireballs. And I put my tape in one of those, and I FedExed it to him. And on the outside was just a post-it note, and it said, "Open here to see the hottest hypnotist in town." And that's how I packaged it. So he opened the box and he reached in, and there was a jar of atomic fireballs with that note that said, "Open here to see the hottest hypnotist in town." And it caught his attention, and he opened it up, and there was my tape, and he watched it. And you know, it turned out he liked atomic fireballs. He loved them, and that caught his eye because everybody else just mailed him his tape, and I did that, and it caught his eye, and he looked at my tape, and I got a lot of shows from him. But I did that through visualization, through getting into his head and reading his mind. And you see, it works. It works, and it puts you so far ahead of anyone else who's doing anything. So what is it you do? What is it you do? And what is it that you need to get ahead? Do you have a love rival? Are you in love with a man or a woman, and someone else is, you know, also getting your attention, but you know that they're not right for them, and you need to get, you know, ahead of them? What do you need to get, you know, that guy, that girl's attention? Ask them. Just project and ask them. You see the power of this technique. The power of this technique. There are other people applying for the same job you're applying for. Get inside the guy's head. What do I need to do to get ahead of these people? What is the one thing you're looking for that will get me ahead? Try it and see if it works. The more you try it, the better you're going to get at it. Now, I'm going to tell you that there are people I've told this to, and they're skeptics. They say, "Well, you're just, you know, playing a mind game in your head." And I say, "Well, maybe. But if that's the case, why does it work so much?" And I'm going to tell you, if you go in there with a doubt, if you go in there like this, "Well, I'll try it and see if it works," I want to give you a rule in this game. Rule number one, doubt will kill you. You can't go in there with doubt. You have to go in there with utter conviction. Even if you have to lie to yourself, even if you have to fool yourself, you got to go in there with utter conviction that this is going to work. You can't go in there, "Well, I'll try this." This is why a law of attraction people, many times they only get minor results. They go in there provisionally. They'll go, "Well, I'll give this a try and see if it works." And then they get minor results. They chant affirmations. So you can't look in a crystal ball and just chant affirmations. You have to enter the spiritual arena of pure causation. You have to go to the place where things happen. You got to go to the starting point that launches causation. You got to go where cause and effect occur. You have to create the cause to get the effect. You can't be in head space. You got to go to heart space. You got to go to the pure spirit realm where things happen, and you got to stay there long enough to generate cause. Well, your chance to call in is up. We've only got about a minute and a half. And we've been talking about silent influence. We've been talking about projection techniques. The whole idea is send something out. I'm going to try something that has never been attempted on radio before. In the last 30 seconds of this show, I'm going to send out a projection. I'm going to enter the silence and send out a projection. I want to send a thought out. Next week, I'm going to invite those of you who are listening this week to either go into chat or email or call in and tell me what you felt and what you saw, because I'm going to try to project a feeling. I'm also going to try to project an image. And if you received it, I want you to tell me. You can either go onto my Facebook page, John St. Germain, my Facebook page. You can go to the Crystal Silence League Facebook page. You can either come here and tell us next week what you felt and what you saw. So I'm going to do that right now, and we'll see you next week. This has been John St. Germain, Crystal Silence League Hour, and I'm going to project 3, 2, 1, now.